Material supplied by VMS may be used for internal review, analysis, or research only. Any editing, reproduction, publication, rebroadcasting, public showing, internet, or public display is forbidden and may violate copyright law.
WASHFM, Washington.
Good morning, and thanks for being here with us this morning at 97.1 Wash FM. I'm Lori Brooks, and this is Women of Vision. And this morning we have local attorney Barbara Burr with us. Barbara is with the D.C. Metro Collaborative. It's a whole new wave of legal workings that is being instituted around town, I guess. I guess it's everywhere now. But we are, I guess, very successful at it here in our area. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
Now, how did what is this collaborative attorneying, or what do we call it?
Collaborative, it can be called collaborative practice. And when it's applied to family matters, divorce, we call it collaborative divorce. It is an alternative to the traditional combative dispute resolution process. So rather than going to court, people commit to stay out of court, and through an out-of-court settlement process in the family matter context in particular, collaborative divorce really helps parties focus on moving beyond the divorce, focus on what's important in their life, and helps them move forward in their lives in a way that's productive and a little less painful.
So the whole goal is getting everybody to think about the future, what's best for the family in the long run.
That's exactly right.
And to keep the bickering and stuff. But I would think that one of the great benefits is trying to unclog the court system some.
Well, it certainly is a great benefit, and certainly the courts have really been supportive in out-of-court settlement processes and in collaborative in particular, because it is a terrific alternative to the traditional court-based process.
So the website, if you would like to check it out and find out a little bit more as we go along, is dcmetrocollaborative.org, and it's, like Barbara said, all over the D.C. area. So dcmetrocollaborative.org. So this is in Maryland, in Virginia. If you live in the suburbs, you can find an attorney who practices with a collaborative way?
That's right. It really came to the D.C. area about 5 or 6 years ago when collaborative attorneys were first being trained. There's a special training in the collaborative process. And when we first learned about it and became trained, it really has taken off like wildfire. There are collaborative divorce attorneys in downtown D.C. and all of the surrounding suburbs, and it's really growing. It's really helpful because the more clients that I find, anyways, that know about collaborative practice are really choosing collaborative practice, and so we're really thrilled with how quickly it's grown and how many more attorneys have been trained.
What does this put on to the clients, the people who are going through one of these processes? Is it a little more work for them?
I don't think that it's more work for them. Certainly in the divorce context, I mean, parties going through divorce, let's face it, it's not a very happy time for them. It's a time of really trauma and great transition. Collaborative divorce really is a supportive process, and folks that choose the process really find that they are given a lot more support. In collaborative divorce, each party has their own collaborative counsel, so each party has their own attorney, and together we meet in a series of meetings. The parties commit to stay out of court, and the lawyers, the collaborative lawyers, also commit to stay out of court, and so both collaborative counsel put both feet in the settlement door, and together we just meet together and help the parties identify what's important to them, what their goals are, and then work together to find resolutions that are acceptable to both parties to help them sort of move forward and try and accomplish as many of both parties' goals as possible.
You know, when you think of a regular divorce going through the court proceedings and everything, it kind of puts your stomach in knots because it's so tense and so ugly. But it seems like if you have both sides that have representation that is committed to doing it collaboratively, that your goal is the same and it wouldn't get to that ugly point. Although you both try to get what is best for your client, so it's up to you to be the negotiators, right?
Yes and no.
Oh, okay.
Certainly, I mean, I guess I would say this. Most parties that come to divorce are, you know, there for good reason. The ways in which they've related to each other, the dynamics that they have in their marriage aren't working. And folks that are facing divorce, typically they are hurt, they're scared, they are angry. And that doesn't simply disappear simply because they choose the collaborative process. But we really help those parties sort of move through that conflict. You know, we look at the conflict and we really try and get beneath it, understand what's really going on, and then help them really focus on what's important to them and look at the bigger picture. Especially when the parties have children, it's really important. Most parties, no matter how angry they are, how bitter they are, how betrayed they feel, they really want to do right by their children. And that's often something that really helps them come together at the table and sort of focus on what's most important going forward. And the collaborative attorneys are there to help support them, keep them focused on that. In addition, in the collaborative process, parties also have the option to call on trained mental health professionals. We call them divorce coaches, who also can join us at the table to help provide support, help the parties sort of go through the emotional divorce while they go through the legal and financial divorce. Really help the communication stay productive at the table, really helps move through the conflict in a way that really gets through it so that we can get to resolution and move forward and help the parties move forward in their lives.
That sounds like a really smart thing, because sometimes people are out of control and it would be easy to understand in those circumstances. It's a volatile issue.
It can be a very volatile issue, and that's exactly the purpose of the collaborative coaches, is to help the parties sort of manage that conflict and move through the divorce.
Now, are there other sort of issues besides divorce that attorneys work on collaboratively?
Yes. Collaborative practice really was invented in the divorce context, but it quickly has spread to other areas as well. In the D.C. area, it's really growing in probate matters, like in contested wills and estates, where, again, you have a family setting, but a dispute in a family setting. We've also seen it used successfully in situations like with business dissolution or contract disputes, especially where, even in professional settings, where professionals are going to continue to work and practice in the same industry or same neighborhood, where moving through the dispute and being able to move forward and get back to work is really what's most important, and with a minimizing the conflict between the actual parties. That's where it's most valuable.
Now, sometimes you see where a judge orders a couple, both sides in a case, into mediation before they can come back to court. Would collaborative practice qualify as that?
It really would be up to the courts whether it would qualify, but you're absolutely right. Courts recognize the incredible value of out-of-court settlements, not just because they unclog the courts, as you pointed out, but because resolving your own conflicts is a way to really help people manage their lives after the particular conflict is over. So in the family setting, where you have folks who have children in common, and they're going to go on co-parenting long after the divorce is done, it's really helpful for them to go through a process that helps them learn how to communicate in a new way and resolve their own conflicts. And collaborative practice is beautifully set up to do that. That's really one of its focuses. And so the courts are just now becoming more and more aware of collaborative practice, and they're certainly supportive of it. It's a little bit of an unknown question whether or not it will substitute for mediation, where mediation is required by the courts. But my guess would be that yes, it would, because it serves the same purpose, and it's really a very valuable and successful way to resolve disputes.
It seems very smart to have that too. When judges will do that, when they'll order mediation before they can go back to court, at least they've tried. Maybe they have it in their mind, they're not going to work it out anyway, and if it's an impossible situation. But who better to decide your fate? At least you have a hand in what could happen with your future instead of having a third party decide it.
Well, and the truth of the matter is something like 90 to 95% of disputes are resolved out of court anyways. It's actually the rare situation at the end of the day where you really leave the decision to a judge to make for you. So why not, from the get-go, start through a process that's really going to help help you focus on what's most important to you, help you gather the information that you need to make these decisions, and then make those decisions in a way that's really focused on what you're going to need as you move forward into your future.
We're going to ask Barbara in just a minute what it is about how much time or less time it takes for collaborative practice versus going through the court system. But first, if you're just joining us here at Wash FM, I'm Lori Brooks, and my guest this morning is a Harvard-educated. You've got to love that. That's always so impressive.
Well, my mother loves it anyway.
Yeah. Barbara Burr, who is a local D.C. attorney, has been here for years and is part of the D.C. Metro Collaborative. And you can go online at dcmetrocollaborative.org and find out more about Barbara participates in collaborative divorce proceedings or mediations, negotiations. So how much time, less time, I guess, does it take to go through a collaborative practice divorce versus going through the courts?
Well, that's an excellent question. Going through the courts can be incredibly time-consuming, and the biggest unknown when you go through the courts is that you have absolutely no control over the timing of it. You get your hearings when the court tells you you get your hearings. Sometimes, depending on what court you go to, you show up and what you get is a postponement. So it can become quite time-consuming as well as expensive if you're bringing your legal team with you when you go to court.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the beauties of the collaborative process is it actually gives the parties control over the timing of the process. Now, each collaborative divorce really is different because each family that comes to us is different and has their own sets of issues, and some are easier and simpler and some are more complicated, just depending on what the issues are. So the timing can really vary. But what clients tend to really appreciate is that they can control not only the length of time that they're in the process, but the pacing, so that they can meet relatively in quick succession and sort of push through if that's what they prefer, or perhaps they want to slow it down and pace themselves a little bit more because that's a better match with as they, you know, go through some of the other aspects of their real life, like separating into two homes and talking to their children about what's happening with their family and the other aspects of, you know, real-life divorce.
So it's less time, or can be less time, especially if you want it to be. I'm sure it's less expensive.
It's definitely less expensive than the traditional adversarial litigation model. It also, again, it gives parties an ability to sort of manage the cost of their divorce. I mean, the truth is that divorce can be very expensive in our society. And what clients really find is that with the collaborative process, it definitely costs money. You're paying professionals. You're paying for your divorce attorneys. You have the option of paying for divorce coaches. You also have the option to use a financial professional, who typically we just have one financial professional for the entire family, who helps the parties organize their finances, and to understand, make sure that both parties really understand what the financial picture is and to really understand what their options are as they go forward. Obviously, that costs some amount of money. But what clients have told me at the end of this is that they really consider the cost that they spent on their collaborative divorce an investment in their family and in their future. And they feel that it's money well spent.
I would think so, too. I know you're a certified CPA as well. So
I was.
You
were?
I was, yes. Okay. But that would be of great benefit when you're talking with couples. And money is, you know, money and kids, biggest things in a divorce settlement.
That's exactly right. And I think what clients really appreciate is that they're really retaining experts through the collaborative divorce process to do what they do best. And so the clients can work directly with the divorce coaches on the parenting plan, and the mental health professionals who serve as divorce coaches have special training in child development and in helping parties co-parent from two separate households. And so they really get specialized expert help in devising parenting plans that are really tailored for their own family. Similarly, with the finances, they get the financial expert who comes in and really helps them understand not just what the options are, but what the financial consequences might be, the tax consequences or other financial consequences.
Right. I understand. Yeah, the financial truth is...
Yes.
of looking at a figure that would be absurd and you may not be aware of it, and somebody says, this is not right. That would be nice to have somebody who knows that.
Another benefit is that often what we find, especially in divorces, is that one party may not be as familiar with finances as the other. And in fact, it's often a common fear when folks are getting divorced that the person who is a little less familiar with the finances is really scared that they're going to be had or that they're not going to understand what it is they're deciding. With the collaborative process, especially with a financial neutral, we really take the time to make sure that both parties feel completely informed and feel very comfortable with the decisions that they're making before those decisions are made. And we tend to find that the decisions that the parties then make are really durable, and that a year from now or 2 years from now, the folks are not needing to come back and revisit those decisions or come back and re-retain their lawyers and go back to court to try and modify a support payment or modify something, because the decisions that they made the first time were good decisions and they stick.
That's a great point. I mean, how many people have you heard talking about modifying their, you know, payments or their support or things like that? Situations change. Say that does happen where somebody's support, they get a much lower paying job, which is happening a lot these days. Would you just go back to your attorney, and would you have to revisit it all over again with everybody, or modifications can still be made?
Sure. Modifications can certainly be made. The sort of end result of the collaborative process is a settlement agreement, just like any other settlement agreement. And those can include provisions for modifications down the road. Typically, what we find is that when folks need to make a modification or need to revisit something down the road, they want to come back to the collaborative process in order to resolve that dispute, because it was a successful process the first time around. And when they come back to the process, it tends to be more efficient and, again, sort of a more productive way to, again, revisit the dispute, but then move beyond it and move forward with their lives again.
It's always easier to do something that you're comfortable with instead of, you know, wading into the great unknown, I would think. If you are just joining us this morning here at Wash FM, this is 97.1, and I'm Lori Brooks. The show you're listening to is Women of Vision, which we do every Sunday morning here at this time. And my guest this morning is local attorney Barbara Burr from DC Metro Collaborative. And you can find them online at dcmetrocollaborative.org. For those who are just joining us, Barbara, can you explain just briefly about the collaborative process?
Sure. Collaborative process is an alternative to the traditional combative adversarial process. We tend to see it most frequently in family matters, but it's also applied to any sort of disputes that you want help in resolving. The parties commit to resolving the dispute outside of the court through an out-of-court settlement process, and each party has their own collaborative attorney who really helps the folks focus on what's most important to them and then move beyond the divorce or move beyond the dispute so that they can move forward in their lives in a way that is productive and a little less painful.
So you're obviously, it says DC Metro, but if you have, say, a couple that's been separated for a while and one lives in Maryland, one lives in DC, or one lives in Virginia, there are collaborative offices all over.
There are collaborative attorneys and collaborative professionals all over the world, actually.
Wow.
There is an international association, the International Academy of Collaborative Professionals, and it is a worldwide network of over 1,000 collaborative professionals.
Now, what do you think is, we've gone over cost and time, and both of those are a big benefit. What is the benefit to the community?
Oh, well, I think the benefit to the community is, it's probably the biggest benefit to the community. One is, of course, keeping the matters out of court.
Yes.
And sort of just expanding out-of-court settlement processes. I think probably the biggest benefit to the community is each one of us, if we're not involved in a divorce personally, we know a close family member or a friend or somebody who has gone through a painful divorce. And so divorce really touches each one of us. And so to the extent that this is out there to help anybody go through divorce or any sort of dispute in a way that is more supportive and a little less painful. It really helps each one of us.
I like that you have the financial and the financial expert as well as the divorce coach, as you call it. I think that's terrific. But children are not involved in the process, or do you? When it comes to things like that, I guess when you ask, do you ever have to interview children, say, or is there a psychologist who would get involved at that point? Who do you want to live with, mommy, daddy, or?
Well, we actually do have a process in collaborative for bringing in the voice of the child to the process. So if it is a collaborative divorce and there is a child or children at issue, we have mental health professionals who are specially trained who serve as what we call child specialists. And those folks, we just hire one for the family, so they're a neutral. So it's neither mom's
right.
child specialist or dad's child specialist. It's the child specialist. And they actually will go and talk to the child, depending on the age, and they will talk to the teachers or the medical, you know, professionals, anybody in the child's life who may have information that's relevant to what the child is experiencing. They don't ask the child what their preference is, because we never, ever want the children to feel that they're responsible in any way for the outcomes
right.
of these decisions. But they do gather a lot of information about what the child is going through and what's important to the child. And they come back with insight and special recommendations about what's important to the child. They don't actually make recommendations about mom's house versus dad's house, but they can help give specialized information about what's important to the child, what the parents can do to help sort of nurture the child's resilience and lower the anxiety and conflict that the child may be experiencing.
Why do you think that collaborative proceedings or collaborative divorce has been so successful in D.C.?
I think it's been so successful in D.C. because it really offers a better process for a number of people. My personal experience is that the more clients that come to me looking for a divorce attorney that I talk to about collaborative divorce, when I explain how it works and how it provides a lower conflict setting, and how it provides support and structure, and their attorney is next to them the entire step of the way, they really choose it.
I think that that it's great. That it, is it just more prone to the big city metro areas, or do you see a time when most divorces will be done like this?
I do see a time when most divorces will be done. I see a time when we'll look back and think, what were we thinking that we did this a different way? This is a smarter, better way to resolve disputes.
Yeah, because it's some of the things that, you know, you see things on, you know, the judge shows on TV and stuff, and some of the stuff that goes on, just, you know, TV in general, when you see these things, and it just looks horrific.
And I guess I just want to also make a point that it is a lower conflict, more supportive process for resolving disputes. But in addition, it's also a more creative process. And so, for instance, there are often complicated or difficult financial issues that need to be resolved when you're going through a divorce. And so this is a process that really allows the time and the patience to really generate really creative options about how to disentangle folks' finances in a way that both parties can move forward feeling secure about their financial futures. If you went to court, the court really is very limited in what they can do. Collaborative divorce allows for a lot of creativity, and so it's not just more supportive, it's not just lower conflict. It actually can result in better, more creative outcomes.
Give me an example of the creativity. That's really interesting.
Well, so I had one collaborative case where the husband was the manager of a private equity fund, and they made a fair amount of money, but his income was really sporadic. And when the fund did well, he did well. And
right.
when the fund didn't do well, he didn't do well. And so ordinarily, when you're looking at alimony or child support, the court wants to look at a snapshot of what is your income now. Well, his income now would vary wildly from what it was last year or what it might be next year. And so we were able to spend time using the financial neutral to really craft a way going forward that provided the wife, who was dependent on alimony for her stream of income, a consistent level of income that would support her at a particular level. But then when the husband would incur great variations up and windfalls in the future, she could share in some of that to some degree, but it also sort of buffered her from the downturns. And so it was a bit of a complicated structure, but it really met both their needs, and they both found it acceptable, and it really took a lot of time and patience to really get to that sort of, you know, solution. And I can't imagine any other process sort of giving folks like this the amount of time and patience that it needed to really sort through how could we do this, could we do it like this, could we do it like that, and try on all these
right.
options till we found one that really fit.
That's terrific, because you're absolutely right. When you would go to court, a judge would look at, you know, your salary now and make a decision based on that for that would affect you forever until you had to go back and modify it, and you're cramming up the courts again.
That's exactly right. And this way, these folks have not had to come back, even though life has moved on and, you know, income has come and gone, but they have a custom-tailored settlement agreement that supports their particular situation.
My guest this morning has been, you heard her, Barbara Burr from D.C. Metro Collaborative, and she is a Harvard-educated attorney who came in this morning to help us understand more about this great experience that's happening around D.C., and it's becoming wildly successful, as you heard Barbara say, or if you're just joining us, it's less costly, it's less combative, and it's more creative. There are so many features that are wonderful about the collaborative process versus going to court and, you know, having somebody else, a third party, decide what you and your family will be living with for the rest of your lives. So, Barbara, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Is DC Metro Collaborative the best way to reach you, or you can go online to a website for yourself?
I do have a website for my firm. It's burrlawfirm.com.
That's B-U-R-R.
Yes. burrlawfirm.com. But I would suggest that anybody who may be going through a divorce or who knows somebody who's going through a divorce who wants to find out if collaborative is possibly a better way for them to log on to dcmetrocollaborative.org.
Yep, dcmetrocollaborative.org. Barbara, you've been wonderful. And thanks for what you're doing for the community, too. I love that we have a progressive option in something out there. That's good. That's good for humans. You know, that doesn't set us up for a battlefield. Thank you.
Thank you.
97.1 Wash FM. WASH FM Washington.